to order for the regular meeting 2013-12, May 13th, 7 p.m. Mr. Jones, will you lead us in the flag salute, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Roll call.
Ms. Becker?
Here.
Ms. Crane?
Here.
Mr. Dibdahl?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Mr. Nankervis?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Present.
Mayor Sanford?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. Special orders of business tonight. We have, first off, we have three things. The General Rights, Human Rights Commission has done a essay contest for the community, and we have three young adults here as winners. And we have then the Police Chief Greg Browning recognition, and an introduction of a new CBJ prosecutor over in law will be introduced. So we'll start with, if the General Human Rights Commission want to come up here with me, and we'll introduce the three students.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have Hannah Harvey, sixth grade winner. Please come up. As the chair of the Human Rights Commission, I present you with the certificate and your award. Thank you so much for participating. Alyssa Nowska, are you here? How about Charity Lumba? Thank you, Charity. This is your award. Charity here is our seventh grade winner for our NSA contest. And this is your award and your certificates. Thank you so much for your participation. This year, the Human Rights Commission put on this essay contest to help youth of our community expand their knowledge base on human rights issues, not only locally, but worldwide. And these students were part of a contest within their classroom, and winners were picked by their teachers. We had a total of 35 entrants into this contest, which is really good. And that's just 35 of the best essays that we had received citywide. And it was open to 6th, 7th, 8th graders. So thank you so much for participating.
You want to stand on that side. I think he wants to take a picture.
I'm not really here. You're going to have to. It's your fault.
I bet you if we let one of the kids do it.
Yeah. No trouble whatsoever.
Sorry about that.
Smile drop. Okay. Stand tall.
Thank you.
I got one.
All right. Thank you guys very much. Thank you. Right here. Ms. Keeper, you're next.
And I'd like to ask Chief Browning to please come forward.
Stand tall. Welcome, Chief.
Chief Browning started his police career in 1979 in Amarillo, Texas. And in 2000, we were able to lure him away to be our assistant chief. And in 2006, he was promoted to chief. During his tenure, Chief Browning has been instrumental in bringing new technology to the department. He spearheaded the accreditation process, the first police department to be accredited in the state of Alaska. And he has served on numerous state and national boards and task force. Thank you, Chief Browning, for your 13 years of service to the residents and visitors of Alaska's capital city. May your guitar always be in tune and may your camera be close at hand. We wish you the very best as you move into warmer climates and transition into retirement. Thank you.
Thank
Thank you, folks. That's good. First of all, that'll be three guitars and a mandolin.
Oh, sorry.
But anyway, it certainly has been an honor and a pleasure to be the police chief here in this wonderful community. I want to also to, you know, I think that I believe in the department in good shape. We, in 2012, we experienced a 20% drop in crime, which is pretty phenomenal. I thought that might be unusual. It might be just a fluke, but it looks like they're telling me so far this year it's even going down further, so that's a good sign, and something to be proud of for the whole community, I think. And also want to kind of turn the tables and thank the members of the Assembly for your service. If there's one thing that I've learned in my 12 years here is that the Assembly is not an easy job, and you don't get a lot of credit. You really don't, and I've seen that time and time again, and what you do, you're responsible for the great things that go on here, so I appreciate that. I just wanted to say that also. And lastly, I have to thank my wife. She's been married to me for 34 years, and that's not always easy as a police. Being married to a police officer 34 years, there's a lot of stresses, strains, bad shifts, to say the least, so I appreciate her, and she had a lot to do with my success. So that's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you. Enjoy the hill country and retirement.
I don't know.
Did you get a hug?
I thought he was going to give you a kiss on the forehead there.
I did.
All right. Well, thank you very much. The next thing on our special order of business is Mr. Hartle. Will you introduce our new prosecutor?
Very fast. Christopher Orman, if you'd stand up.
Very fast.
He's our new CBJ prosecutor, replacing August Petropoulos, who's moving to Maui for some reason. I asked Chris to send me a few things to say about him. So very fast, he wrote that he's married, has two children. He clerked for Judge William Carey in Ketchikan. And then he's been 2 years in Palmer for the Palmer DA, doing quite a bit of trial work. And he's excited to be in Juneau. And I should say that I think we've proved beyond all reasonable doubt how smart he is. First point, he mentions his wife. Then he tells the Assembly he loves Juneau and is excited to be here. Anyway, get a chance to shake his hand, our new prosecutor, Christopher Orman.
I'm not good with formality. Does that mean I'm supposed to go up there and shake hands?
No.
Ongoing process.
Okay.
That'll be fine.
Not till you leave, Chris. Okay. Approval of minutes. Let's look at the April 22nd, 2013 regular assembly meeting minutes for 2013-10. Are there any corrections?
Nope.
Are there any objections to them being approved?
Nope.
Seeing none, so ordered. Let's next look at the April 29th, 2013 special assembly meeting, 2013-11. Are there any corrections to that set of minutes? Seeing none, is there any objections to their being approved? So ordered. Next is manager's request for agenda changes.
Actually, I just want to draw your attention to two items in your red folder. There's a revised IAFF memo in your red folder, and there's also ordinance 2013-15C in your red folder. So please refer to those as you go through the consent agenda and the public hearing piece tonight.
All right. Thank you, Madam Manager. And we'll move on to, does the Assembly have any consent agenda items they wish to pull? Mr. Wanamaker?
We have public participation first.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Public participation on non-agenda items. We have two people signed up. and they will have, and I hate to give this person any more than minimum amount of time. Mr. Metcalf, I think if you'll come up and go first, and since we only have two people, you've got up to 5 minutes, Mr. Metcalf. Can you fill that time?
I am a Metcalf.
Thank you, Peter.
Merrill knows me all too well. He was a big kid in our neighborhood at Basin Road while I was growing up. I'm Peter Metcalf. My wife Sandy is here with me. We live at 354 Diston Avenue, right behind the governor's mansion. The topic is, as I believe the assembly is familiar with, our effort to close a loophole in the bear nuisance ordinance, which we became, we've been aware of for some time, but last year our neighborhood was subjected to repeated bear attacks upon our garbage containment systems, and there's a variety in our neighborhood, but we were aware before, and we were all too well aware that the enforcement officer is powerless to require a property owner of a multi-unit building to correct a problem with access, you know, bare access to garbage containers and dumpsters, because my wife Sandy and I own a fourplex, and we could just point to our tenants as being the culprits in not securing the garbage containment system. Now, we put our garbage within a bin behind a metal gate that has a chain loop around it, and you have to put the chain loop around it for it to be secure, but it conforms to city regulations. A dumpster with a metal lid that has a latch, it conforms to the bare nuisance ordinance, so long as somebody latches it. But the problem, as we have seen and recorded many times, is a dumpster, especially that associated with an apartment with many tenants, the tenants typically will not take the time to use both hands and secure the latch. But that dumpster is legal because it has a secure latch as long as somebody uses it. So this ordinance, I believe, would correct that problem. In other words, the enforcement officer, upon observing and, you know, being called upon to correct the situation repeatedly in a short period of time, would be able to require the property owner to retrofit the dumpster or otherwise create a secure garbage containment system, otherwise being subject to fines that he might impose. Now, I don't suggest that I'm, you know, skilled in writing ordinances, but I think you'll get the drift by reading this edition. Some of it is arbitrary, like that a garbage container that is proven vulnerable to bears 3 or more times in a 30-day period shall be deemed a bear attraction nuisance. Now, perhaps that can be amended. But I will say here that I have shared this ordinance edition with the city attorney, with the Bob Dilley, the enforcement officer, with Ryan Scott, who serves on behalf of the Fish and Game and is responsible for capturing brown bear or black bear that are raiding our garbage, and as well as the ad hoc bear committee that recently formed for the purpose of improving our bear and human safety here in Juneau. I do want to say that I think we've made a lot of progress over the last number of years. As the mayor can testify, when we were growing up in Basin Road, it was pretty much a free-for-all. But as our community has grown and we've become more sophisticated, we've become aware that we need to reduce the incidence of bears getting into garbage and creating a public safety, public health, and littering problems that are occurring now. And I just want to close by saying that last year was a particularly hard time for our neighborhood. And judging from what Ryan Scott told me, it was the year was a little bit, above average. It wasn't that bad, but in our neighborhood, it was remarkable, the number of bears that we were having to deal with, one of which had to be put down, and that's one of the reasons why I'm presenting this, because we don't want to see that happen again.
All right, any questions for Mr. Metcalf? Seeing none, thank you very much. Thanks, Peter. Mr. Eddie Reyes, welcome. Did you wish to testify tonight?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Right there, name and serial number.
Okay. Please excuse me, this is my first time here in the city, and I don't know the protocol normally used here. Yeah. But actually, the only reason I'm actually here is simply to introduce, we're a new organization here in the city of Juneau. Our organization's interest is to be able to bridge the gap for the non-English speaking Latino community. And of course, our purpose in that is to be able to, one, be able to get them to the point where they can actually be productive, giving back to the city rather than simply taken because of their deficiency in the English language. And then, of course, to somehow create value even for the city regarding having just a link where you can have, whenever there's an issue, whether it could be with the police department, or even Department of Transportation, any particular area within the city that has a problem regarding translation or interpretation issues, a helping rock, Piedra de Ayuda in Spanish, will actually be available. We're not officially open, but we did want to make the city aware that it's going to, that it is going to be available for the community to be able to assist with this language barrier. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Reyes. Is there any questions? Thank you very much. All right, Mr. Thomas, you'll come up when we do ordinance 2013-15C. And so, consent agenda, public requests for consent agenda changes other than ordinances for introduction. Does anybody wish to pull anything else off the consent agenda? Seeing none, assembly requests for consent agenda changes. Mr. Wanamaker?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to remove resolution 2648.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. May I have a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move we accept the consent agenda with resolution 2648 withdrawn.
Thank you. Are there any objections? So ordered. Madam Chairman, can we hear the title for ordinance 2648, Madam Clerk?
A resolution ratifying the labor agreement between the City and Borough and the International Association of Firefighters Local 4303 AFL-CIO.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Ms. Keeper?
Yes, if approved, this collective bargaining agreement will go into effect upon signing and expire on June 30th, 2016. The tentative agreement includes economic modifications to the pay plan and to employers' contribution for health insurance. The total cost of these provisions over the life of the contract are projected to be approximately $555,737.57. The tentative agreement has been ratified by the IAFF membership, and the economic terms are in keeping with Assembly's direction of the April 10, 2013 meeting. I recommend this resolution be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Keeper. Is there anybody in the public who wishes to testify to this resolution? Seeing none, wishes or comments from the Assembly? Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move Assembly approval of resolution 2648 for purposes of discussion. My purpose in withdrawing it is that I find it very unusual that we would find ratification of a negotiated agreement on the consent agenda. The Assembly's practice has always been to receive an analysis, briefing, and recommendation from the staff in executive session, laying out the reasoning behind the proposed agreement so that the Assembly can make an informed decision. That hasn't happened here. This may indeed follow the Assembly direction, but I don't understand the reasoning behind it, and I would prefer that we have that analysis and recommendation from the staff. and the opportunity to ask questions in executive session. And so I would like to table it and receive that information from the staff and then take it up again after that. But I would like to hear from the rest of the assembly to see if they also are interested, because it is a fiduciary obligation on our part.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Ms. Crane.
I thought we did hear that information in executive session. And I was satisfied with the information that we heard.
Any other members of the assembly? Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I actually don't remember hearing that. I remember hearing a very brief comment in executive session, but nothing nearly as detailed as this, or what I expected. So, thank you.
Anyone else? Mr. Keel.
Mr. Mayor, I was satisfied with the assembly's briefing in executive session. The additional detail provided in the full copy of the tentative agreement gave me opportunity to look and to pose questions to city staff, and I'm satisfied and prepared to act tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Any other comments?
Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead, Mr. Dibdahl.
Yeah, that's my recollection also, and therefore I'd call for the question.
Thank you, Mr. Dibdahl.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Smith.
Thank you. I do not recall seeing the agreement detail.
The agreement was not before us ever in whole content. No.
But there wasn't.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. That is my recollection also, is that we did not see the agreement, and we did not have all of the information. What I recall is a progress report, and I would be quite interested in hearing from the city manager at this point as to what her thoughts are and how to proceed.
Madam Manager?
I believe we provided a briefing in executive session, and because it's executive session, I really can't talk about the details of that. And so it's outlined specifically in the memo. I believe we did go into some detail, because I remember some discussion that happened after that detail.
Thank you. And Mr. Wanamaker, will you restate your motion, what you wanted us to do? I'm sorry.
Mr. Mayor, my motion was for assembly approval of this resolution for purposes of discussion, and I suggested that based on the will of the body, that it might be a good idea to postpone its approval until we had that detailed report and opportunity to ask additional questions in executive session.
And Madam Manager, since we have all this stuff in front of us in public record right now, the agreement and everything to do with the agreement, do you wish to carry forward with it tonight and give us that information tonight?
I don't know what additional information you want that's not already outlined in the memo.
Good question.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Mr. Dibdahl.
Yeah, there's a motion.
Yes, thank you.
On the floor.
Thank you. And we'll move to that motion. And roll call, please.
Will you please repeat the motion?
Approval of the motion.
Say the motion one more time, Mr. Wanamaker.
The motion is for the assembly to approve resolution 2648.
Thank you. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, resolution 2648 is approved. Okay, we'll move on to public hearing. Ordinance 2013-10. Madam Clerk, title?
An ordinance appropriating funds from the Treasury for FY14 school district operations.
Admin report?
This ordinance would appropriate to the school district an FY14 operating budget of $93,967,200. The FY14 school budget is supported with a combination of funding sources that includes local funding of $24,904,400. That breakout consists of $24,134,400 for general operations, $565,000 for student activities, $70,000 for pupil transportation, and $135,000 for community schools. The $24,134,400 in general operating support is the maximum amount allowed under the State Educational Foundation funding formula. By charter, the assembly is required to appropriate the school district's budget no later than May 31st, 2013. At its May 8th, 2013 meeting, the Assembly Finance Committee voted to recommend the original ordinance, which includes funding from CBJ to the school district at the $24,904,400 amount to the full assembly for final consideration at the May 13, 2013 assembly meeting. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Public comment. Does anyone in the public wish to comment on ordinance 2013-10? Seeing none. Assembly action. Mr. Jones.
Mr. Mayor, I would move approval of ordinance 2013-10 and ask unanimous consent.
Is there any objections?
Question.
Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For staff, in the funding that's over the cap, the $24,134,400 is the cap. That is the amount to the cap. Above that, we have $700,000+. It's my understanding from reading this that pupil transportation is part of that. Is that correct? Funding above the cap is some of it is pupil transportation?
Correct.
Is the, if I may, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
It seems to me that I asked the question of the school district here when we had our school budget presentations about funding for pupil transportation. Each year they get money from the state for transporting students. And each year they have some money left over, and each year they convert it to another use within the school district. And I see that we're being asked to fund pupil transportation over the cap. So do they have money left over this year that they could be applying towards this rather than asking for additional money for pupil transportation over the cap?
Mr. Means is in the audience. He's better prepared to answer that than I am.
Good evening, members of the Assembly and Mayor Sanford. The $70,000 that we are requesting for pupil transportation is for specialized pupil transportation services, not necessarily the home-to-school and school-to-home type services. We're asking for $35,000 for the homeless students and $35,000 to provide services for after-school activities. We've been doing this for many, many years. At the end of this fiscal Assembly Member Wanamaker is correct that in developing the school district's budget for the upcoming FY14, what is before you tonight, there is $100,000 transfer out of the pupil transportation fund into the general school operations fund. It is my projection that probably end of this fiscal year, end of next fiscal year, there will not be very much fund balance left at the end of the next fiscal year once those two actions are done. Could the school district get by without the $35,000 and the $35,000 and have a fund balance at the end of next fiscal year at the end of 2014 and still provide the continued services? It would be very close to zero, if not below zero, at this point in time.
Mr. Means, could I get you just to repeat your name
members of the Assembly, my name is David Means. I'm the Director of Administrative Services for the Juneau School District.
Any other questions? Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. One for Mr. Means, and I don't know how to make this sound non-facetious, but how do you orchestrate pickup for somebody that's homeless?
We have a program that is a homeless program that they operate for all the students. I'm wanting to have to say I do not know how the students are particularly identified within school, but the We do have a part-time administrative assistant who works with those students. And on that particular program, we provide services usually through a local taxi company to take those students to wherever they're living at that time and back, you know, into their school. I would assume that the family would have to, or the school authorities who are, you know, close to that student would be identifying and reporting him to our homeless liaison program.
Thank you, Mr. Means.
Thank you.
Mr. Wanamaker, you had your...
Yes, another question for Mr. Means. The picking up of students who are homeless, or and some of them aren't truly homeless so much as they are moving to so many different locations during the year because they don't have a permanent residence. And so the school district uses this program to keep those students in the same building, as I understand it. Is this a is that an accurate description of part of what this program accomplishes, and is it mandated by the federal government in some way or the state?
I think you got a fairly accurate description, best if I understand it. Yes, it is a federal mandate. Let me add that there are federal funds that in some circumstances we do apply and are able to apply those federal funds to provide that transportation. And when those funds are available, we use those funds. But those funds also have some highly restrictions on which are very technical, which I don't think I've ever have learned what all those restrictions are. And I know that we need other funds to provide transportation in other circumstances as well.
Any other questions? Mr. Nan Kervis?
Thank you. I had one for the manager. We didn't get to talk about this at Finance Committee last time, and now is our chance to talk about this. I would have preferred if these numbers were broken out into two ordinances. One, for the general operating support for the maximum amount allowed under the state's education foundation funding, which is $24,134,400, and then a separate one for over and above the cap. Again, that was just discussion. I would have liked to see that.
Just to clarify all that, Mr. Nankervis, we voted on that particular issue that night. Mr. Wanamaker presented it to us to separate those two things out, and the assembly as a whole voted not to do that and to accept all those outside of the cap issues within the payment that we were going to make.
Mr. Mayor, and that's the point I'm bringing up. Thank you. Just wanted to bring it up.
Okay, thank you. Anything else? Is there any objections to passage of the school board? Excuse me. Ordinance number 2013-10. Hearing none, so ordered. We'll move on to ordinance 2013-13. Madam Clerk, please read the title.
An ordinance amending the official zoning map of the city and borough to change the zoning of West Juneau, Block D, lots 11 to 14 fraction, lot 9 and 10 fraction, lot 7 fraction and 8 fraction, and lots 6 and 7 fraction, located at the west end of the Douglas Bridge and currently zoned D5 to D18.
Madam Manager, admin report.
On January 7, 2013, CDD held an informational meeting to discuss the proposed rezone with the owners of the property in the area being considered for inclusion in the rezone. The area of potential rezone was located adjacent to Douglas Highway and surrounded by D18 zoning to the east and north and D5 zoning to the west and south. The size of the lots and the development is similar to the surrounding area, both the area zone D18 and D5. There are a few multifamily complexes in the D18 neighborhoods, but much of the area is developed as single family with apartment and duplex units. The Planning Commission, at its February 22, 2013 meeting, recommended the Assembly approve the rezone of the subject parcels from D5 to D18. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody in the public who wishes to comment on this ordinance, 2013-13? Seeing none, assembly action. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of ordinance 2013-13 and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Thank you, Mr. Smith. We'll move on to ordinance 2013-15B. Madam Clerk? 15C, excuse me.
2013-15C, an ordinance relating to parking, other violations, civil fines, and civil fine procedure, and providing for a penalty.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Administration report.
This ordinance would establish a new process for handling parking and other violations of CBJ code to replace the infraction process invalidated recently by the Alaska Supreme Court. The ordinance would leave the content of the violation parking rules unchanged, but would allow notice of violations to be provided by affixing tickets to vehicles violating the parking rules. It would also provide for a hearing before an administrative hearing officer to be appointed by the city manager if requested within the time allowed to challenge a notice of violation. Version C has further housekeeping changes that include changing the violation time from 15 days to 30 day. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. And just to make sure the assembly all has the right ordinance in front of them, we had B in the packet. C has been substituted in a red folder, so make sure you're working off of that one, please. Thank you, Madam Manager. We have two people from the public signed up to testify. Is there anyone besides Mr. Harris or Mr. Paul Thomas who wishes to testify on this ordinance? Thank you, Mr. Paul Thomas, if you want to come up first. 3 minutes, Mr. Thomas.
Paul Thomas, 9040 Ninnis Drive. I own Last Cash Liquor here downtown, and I'm also a member on the DBA. Just a couple quick comments. When this ordinance goes through and stuff, we'd like to see a drop box here in City Hall or be able to pay at the window. And let's not let downtown take a negative hit on this parking again. Let's get them out there issuing warnings today. Actually, I believe that they were out there today issuing warnings, but let's keep that going through the 30 days if this is passed before it actually becomes processed, so downtown doesn't take that negative hit of bad parking and stuff. The only other thing I have is if we get a couple PSAs out there telling people, this has hit the news a couple times that there's no enforcement and it's been on radio, it's been in print. We need to get the word back out that, you know, there are rules to be followed. Thank you,
Mr. Thomas. Is there any questions for Mr. Thomas? Thank you very much. Mr. Dennis Harris. Welcome, Dennis.
Mr. Mayor, it's been a while. I don't think I've been here for over a year. So there are a few new assembly members who haven't heard me testify. But I'll do my Bob Garrison best tonight.
All right, thanks.
My name is Dennis Harris. I'm proud to be the third generation of my family to reside at 544 West 12th Street. I have some concerns about this ordinance. First of all, I don't see anything in here about the legal training or qualifications that is required for the hearing officer, and that brings great concern to me and other people I've talked to who want to make sure that whoever is the hearing officer has some background and qualification in legal proceedings. I'm very concerned about the fact that it allows testimony, hearsay testimony, which is not allowed in courts, and I don't think should be allowed. I don't understand why hearsay testimony is allowed here. I really think that that paragraph should be struck. But I'm here primarily because, as a taxi driver, I have a problem with this ordinance. I have a problem with parking generally, and that is that because I have a taxi cab, unless I am off duty and have my special $10 a year permit to park my taxi cab in a regular parking spot, I end up paying a $60 fine for parking in a regular parking spot, no matter how crowded or busy it is, the limited number of taxi zone spots in Juneau are. We have two taxi zone parking spaces at the tram. We have two at the Red Dog. We have two in front of the Triangle Club. And we have four in front of the Baranoff Hotel. Any other place a taxi cab stands or parks, unless we have a B-zone permit and are in the B-zone that's controlled by Docks and Harbors, which is, by the way, a fairly expensive permit, we cannot park. And we consistently have problems with ordinary citizens who are only going to be there for just a minute. Well, handicapped people will tell you they have the same problem. People park in their spaces and are only going to be there for just a minute. And the same with taxi cabs. It's particularly bad with the taxi queue that operates at the Baranoff Hotel. Because like all taxi queues, the cabs have to move forward. And when somebody parks behind a taxi and the taxi pulls up, the taxis can no longer move forward to pick up people as they come out the door of the hotel. I'm very frustrated at this because I know our enforcement officers are busy. I know both the police officers and the community service officers are generally pretty busy. And the if you talk to the dispatchers, they well know my name because I am probably the worst caller about people violating taxi zones. Fortunately, in the past, and I don't know if this ordinance allows it, but it should, over the last year, the dock rangers have also been allowed to write tickets for violations of the taxi zones. And that has helped, particularly at the tram and the Red Dog, since they are in the area when community service officers are often busy somewhere else. But the worst problem is the fine penalty is minimal, and people consistently violate it. And we particularly have a problem with the Red Dog on Sunday because people that live in the neighborhood or live up on Gaston Avenue park in the Red Dog taxi slots. The ships come to port, and we have no place to park at the Red Dog. And officers come by, write a ticket, and it sits there all day because the person that got the ticket treats it as a parking fee. And I would really like to see you put new signs on the taxi zones that say tow-away zone and allow for towing of cars that are violating the taxi zones. We have, on a normal summer day, 40 or more taxi cabs on the street of downtown Juneau. And we have, as I said, 10 spaces for 40 taxis. And, it's a difficult situation for taxi drivers, and it's very frustrating when people take our spaces and then sit there for hours and we cannot get them moved because the police are not authorized to tow them away. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Are there any questions for Mr. Harris? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Harris. Is there anybody else? One last chance for a public comment. Seeing none, assembly action. Mr. Jerry Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move ordinance 2013-15C for approval for purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Go ahead.
I share some of Mr. Harris's concerns on this, and this is a moving target. It has been getting updates, and I appreciate that we're getting all the updates, but there's, again, a little bit of explanation that I would like to hear from the law department, specifically as it relates to one of the things Mr. Harris brought up, and that is hearsay. I believe I know why that might be allowed in this. And also, if what the preliminary plans are for how the hearing officer thing function would work. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Which one of you want to go first? Mr. Hartle, go ahead.
I'm happy to go first. Hold on, I'm looking for the section on hearsay. Okay. This allows hearsay evidence to be used with some limitations. Hearsay evidence may be considered provided there are guarantees of its trustworthiness and that it's more probative on the point for which it's offered than any other evidence the proponent can procure by reasonable efforts. This is in lieu of adopting the rules of evidence, which the basic rule is that hearsay is not allowed, but there are 24 exceptions to the hearsay rule, all of which can be summed up by this exact line in here. that there are some guarantees of trustworthiness, and that it's more probative than other evidence. Rather than repeat that, prohibiting hearsay, and then allowing the 24 exceptions, again, this is lifted from Ketchikan, and it's sort of a summary way to do it. The Supreme Court has held many times that the process you are due, because this due process is required here, the government is taking money from the people who get tickets, and the process you are due turns on sort of what you're being deprived of. If you're being deprived of your liberty, it's a maximum process. If it's your job, it's pretty high. If it's thousands of dollars, it's still quite high. But when you get down to a $25 parking ticket, you're not owed massive amounts of process. Some amount, and they're going to get a, I hope, full and fair hearing under this. I expect they'll get a full and fair hearing under this. But this is a shortcut way to allow evidence in.
Thank you.
Any follow-up on that one?
No, not on that one.
Ms. Keeper, if you want to talk about the hearing officer?
Sure. At this point, we're looking to have the hearing officer be in the manager's office, and we've yet to determine specifically who that will be. We will be working with the attorney's office to come up with the criteria. And also working with the CSOs of the things that they have seen in court so that we can have an educational manual be put in place. But we're still determining exactly who that person will be.
Mr. Mayor?
Go ahead,
Mr. If I could follow up with that. Do we have an idea of the kind of time we're going to put into this? Like currently Wednesday's traffic court at the district court. And do we have an initial estimate on how much time this would involve for an employee, and would this be a new employee, or would this be a temporarily tasked current employee?
So I'll do the reverse. This will be a current employee at this point. From our understandings in talking with the CSOs, because our system, we're still working out bugs, we know that there will probably be more requests to start out with, but we hope as we work out the parking system downtown that will be less and less. My understanding in talking with them in the past, when we didn't have the electronic system in place, there were very few requests for hearing for a parking ticket. So we're hoping to get back to that place. At some point, we're potentially going to set up a traffic court time, and we need to determine if that's 2 or 3 hours. We're looking at trying to set it up over a lunch hour to make it easy for people to be able to come to it and not have to take off work for it.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, if
Mr.
I
Hartman.
Could make one more comment on Mr. Harris's testimony. This ordinance doesn't change anything with respect to the parking itself. You know, he made the point about taxi parking spaces. It does nothing on that at all. It leaves the substantive law exactly the same, and it only addresses how the tickets are handled.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Hartle. Mr. Wanamaker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For Mr. Hartle, a two-part question. Mr. Harris brought up a good point that you've already explained to us in an earlier work session, and that is, what kind of training will this person have? You know, what is our criteria? The second part is this. What are we doing to ensure that this person is immune to command influence? In other words, let this person off. Be sure you get this person.
Thank you. I think that's a very, very important point. The public, until recently, could go to court to have their tickets heard, and the court is established on the bedrock of independence and lack of influence by anything over what they do. So that in any event, we will have to be very careful to try to maintain that, create it as best as we can. One thing that manager has talked to me about is starting off with the law department intern, assuming it's still in the budget when we get there, who has completed 2 years of law school, and he seems a very good intern. He'll be starting next week, and we may be able to allocate some of his time to this hearing duty through the summer to get us jump-started and to make a manual for whoever does it for the long term. Speaking of the long term, we're hoping this whole thing will be reversed by the legislature next year. Mr. Keel did quite a bit of research on the legislative history of how we got here and told me about it anyway.
Ms. Crane?
My question kind of follows up on Mr. Wanamaker's. I was, if you look at page 16 of 20, section E and F, section F says that the hearing officer's decision shall be based solely upon the law and the facts applicable to the case, and it goes on there. But then section F says that the hearing officer may exercise reasonable discretion in deciding the appeal. And I see a little bit of conflict between those two sections.
Mr. Hartle.
Thank you. It's another excellent question. That where the section E says that the hearing officer shall not substitute his or her judgment for that of the enforcement officer or for that of the manager, it's on questions of, you know, there shouldn't be parking allowed here, or it should be 3 hours instead of 2 hours, or there should be parking allowed, you know, that they never should have got the ticket. That would be substituting the hearing officer's judgment for that of the manager or the enforcement officer. Then they should have, in my view, and I just as the court does, reasonable discretion. When the person has used the parking machine and they've transposed the digits on their license plate when they entered it in, that should get the ticket dismissed if they bring in the ticket that shows the hours and so forth. And there's an infinite variety of things that come in to explain tickets, and you'll need to have some discretion to deal with them.
That's good. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Harder. Mr. Keel?
Mr. Wanamaker? To follow up on that point, I certainly understand how that applies to shall not substitute his or her judgment for the assembly or manager about the regulation ordinance. Right? No, that shouldn't have been a taxi zone. That should have been general parking. We don't want a hearing officer saying that. But when it comes to shall not substitute his or her judgment for that of the enforcement officer, that's the one that I'm having a hard time reading together with may dismiss when necessary in the interest of justice. I mean, isn't the issue here that there are some things that come to light in, you know, well, previously the courtroom, here in the hearing room, that, gee, the enforcement officer couldn't have known that in the rain on the street corner, but I see now that there are more facts. So how can you act in the interest of justice accordingly if you can't substitute your judgment about whether a citation should have been issued?
Mr. Hartle?
Thank you. I think it's trying to draw the line of, for say, how long the car was sitting there and whether they had transposed the digits. You know, that the hearing officer, I mean, the enforcement officer is not going to know about the other facts, as you mentioned, or things that the person who parked the car may well know that may well serve to appropriately get the ticket dismissed. There is some tension. I certainly see your point. As I've said, by the way, I should say it again about this whole ordinance. It's a 20-page ordinance that was done, you know, in a bit of a rush sometimes, and I had to make up some of it with my own little pen here. And there's going to be tweaks coming down the road. The assembly should expect when we have appeals and process tickets under this, I would be expecting changes.
Thank you, Mr. Hartle. Mr. Wanamaker?
Yes, thank you. Mr. Hartle, would you please explain for the benefit of the listening public the criterion, the training that this administrative person will receive prior to beginning?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I believe, well, we're going to try to start with our law department intern. He will He has graduated college, and he'll have 2 years of law school as well, plus the training in our office on Alaska courts and processes. Actually, he worked for the Fairbanks DA last summer, so I'm hoping that will get us off to a jump start. I'm going to task him with writing a desk manual for whoever it is. All I can say is we will do our best to hire assign a qualified person and train them appropriately.
Madam Manager, could you give us your viewpoint on that? I mean, who do you see as, I think that you've said this before and asked about it with law, but who do you see as doing this or filling this job, and what type of person?
At this point, we're looking at somebody in the manager's office to do it. Somebody that most likely has had some court experience in the past and understands the court process. And once again, once we get the intern, we'll have a better sense of what the requirements will be based on their evaluation of the situation. So we will be taking guidance from the law department if we don't have the right mix of a person to be able to do it.
Any other questions, comments? Mr. Hartle, go ahead.
Just a further comment on that. There are two places in the state that now have not had their ticket system thrown out. Every other municipality has had its ticket system thrown out. And those are the Ketchikan Borough and the municipality of Anchorage. In Anchorage, they have their own municipal court system, and they have judges, municipal judges, that hear these things. In Ketchikan, I understand it's the manager's secretary. So it shows a rather broad continuum. I think we'll fall somewhere in between those.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any other comments? Mr. Keel?
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, since we sure were at the end there, maybe we could jump back to the middle. On page 9, where it talks about notices of violation, 075B, it says code enforcement officers are authorized to give these new tickets. And that's it's a very broad term. I guess the question would be, can our building inspector give a parking ticket now? Do we have a definition that works?
Mr. Hartle?
Under present law elsewhere, I think it's in Title III, the manager can designate individuals as code enforcement officers. For example, in CDD, the person that gets the training from JPD, the environmental zoning inspector gets training and tickets from JPD and issues tickets that go straight to court. Similarly, at the airport, they have non-police officers that can give tickets. This ordinance, by the way, does include the bear attraction nuisance, the wood smoke ordinance. Those are generally enforced by the community service officers. Let me see if there's any.
Harbors.
Harbors trains their harbor techs at JPD to give tickets. And so this would include all of those people. Each individual has to have a letter from the manager.
And go through the class,
and it sets out exactly which codes they're empowered to enforce.
Okay, so the scope would be limited outside of our police office, police department employees.
And the answer to your question was no.
Thanks.
Mr. Lauren Jones.
On that same section, this section B, 1 through, I guess, 11 on the pages 10 and 11, that was expanded based on the comments from the current magistrate. And yet you changed this to bring in harbors, airport, smoke, and bear nuisance. But as I read this, this talks about vehicles without drivers, things like that. Would the tickets for bear nuisance or tickets for smoke include the same information, 1 through 11? I guess it wasn't clear to me that a lot of this information might be there, but I was just curious. Does it apply? Because it, and I read the first part of it on page 9, it seemed to only be particular to cars.
Mr. Hartle?
Thank you. It should include each of those others. The ordinance was built around parking, and then those others were added later.
Well, I mean, like on the bottom of page 9, it says, yes. Violation of the codes by affixing a notice of violation to the vehicles. You wouldn't do that on a license.
True.
I wanted to just make sure that the intent here was that the same information would be available, because I'm assuming that the same people could come in and appeal on the same reasons.
If, Mr. Mayor, if you could, if you keep following along on page 10, where it says, or in appropriate cases by affixing the notice to the house or other building or property, and or by delivering the notice by certified mail. So I think that brings in the other, that was, JPD asked for the same authority and the in-house hearings for a bear attraction nuisance. They say that they go to the house during the day, and people are often at work, and they, rather than have to come back, the same officer have to come back in the evening, they leave it on attached to the house. The same with the wood smoke ordinance. They want to be able to attach it to the house. So this also includes those. It says they're in appropriate cases by conspicuously affixing the notice to a house or other building.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hartle. Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So the next question I have actually is maybe a little on the technical side, but the first several parts of the code we change here. 051, the traffic fines. 052, the boat harbor fines. The health and sanitation and the wood smoke. Health and sanitation. They all say in the following schedule, so you can write one of these for an offense at the fine amount in the following schedule, and then we delete the schedule. But the phrase in the following schedule doesn't point them to the shiny new one that we create at 070, because the next one's at 054, animal control. So the following schedule is dog bites.
Mr. Hartle.
Sure. Thank you. Let me back up just a little bit. We have the substantive code, the ordinance that makes it illegal to violate a traffic control device or park in a freight loading zone or all these things listed. Then the fine is set out in the traffic fine schedule in a different section of the code. That fine schedule has many things that are not on this list of where we're striking them out. The Supreme Court said that requires that an infraction ticket has to be personally served on the person by the officer observing the conduct. When it's for conduct, say, running a stop sign or speeding, the officer is presumably going to stop the car and hand them the ticket. And therefore, we didn't pull them out of the existing system. We left it in so that those tickets will be heard in the court system, assuming they continue to let us do so. Where those are left out, you'll see three little dots. Page 2, line 6, line 9, line 20. Those are ellipses to show that there are other listed offenses not being stricken through here. Then on the new section, shiny new as you said, page 6, it has the new table. And it says the offenses listed in the table below shall be considered violations subject to a civil fine. And so that puts them into the new system. We pulled them out of the old system with the strike through. We put them in the new system here.
To follow up.
Mr. Keel.
So those then
by virtue of their inclusion at 070, those don't need the phrase "are amenable to disposition without court appearance" that appears in all those other sections I just mentioned.
I believe it's in here elsewhere that it says you can mail it in, basically. The way people do with tickets today, they can mail their check in. I'll find it if you'd like. That was stricken to follow up because they're not going to court.
Right.
So that's why it says without court appearance. It doesn't say, rather, without court appearance. And it says instead, I'm sorry, page 6, line 7, payment of the listed civil fine shall be accepted in satisfaction of the violation. And I thought there was a very good suggestion made in the testimony today of a drop box at City Hall, by the way.
Any other questions, comments? Mr. Jones?
Just one. Ms. Harris also raised the issue of sort of the enforcement and fines for parking in a taxi area. Is it appropriate under the ordinance we're discussing to talk about an amendment to change the fine? I noticed that if you park in a handicapped zone, it's $100. But if you're parking in a public carrier stop, I assume that's the taxi stop, fine's only $50. Is it appropriate under this ordinance, or is that something that would need to be a separate ordinance because of title issues or whatever? I was just curious.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I recommend that it be a separate ordinance for that very reason, that this is what we gave notice of, as I said earlier tonight and have said all along. This makes no changes to the substantive law. We're leaving the parking rules exactly as is, only changing the way the tickets are handled. That would get into tweaking the actual parking rules. And I recommend avoiding that at this time. And if you ask at any time, I'm happy to make an ordinance that does exactly that.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Any other comments? So did we have a motion on the floor here?
Yes.
Who was it, Mr. Tanker?
Mr. Mayor. I would again move that ordinance 2013-15C be approved, and I ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Thank you. So ordered. Move on to ordinance 2012-20AM. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance transferring to the manager the sum of $75,554 for the open space marine passenger fees budgeted to the general visitor services and roaded service area funds.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Admin report.
This transfer is consistent with the Assembly's direction on disposition of unexpended marine passenger fees. For accounting purposes, the funds will first be refunded to the Marine Passenger Fee Fund and then transferred to the Open Space Waterfront Land Acquisition CIP. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Public comment? Is there anybody in the public who wishes to make comment on ordinance 2012-20AM? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action. Mr. Jones?
Mr. Mayor, I would move approval of ordinance 2012-20AM and ask unanimous consent.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Madam Clerk, would you please read ordinance 2012-20AN?
An ordinance transferring to the manager the sum of $300,000 to return funds to the Waterfront Seawalk Capital Project Fund, funding provided by the general fund balance.
Admin report, please.
Resolution serial number 2473, adopted on April 27, 2009, authorized the manager to negotiate and enter into an agreement with East End Associates Incorporated regarding the extension of the Seawalk through the Taku Fisheries property. On July 1, 2009, the CBJ and East End Associates Incorporated entered into an agreement and called the Seawalk Agreement. As part of that agreement, the CBJ funded a portion of the refrigeration CWOC system and agreed to loan up to $300,000 for the remainder of the costs of the installed system. The agreement stipulated the application for the loan must be made within 180 days of closing. The Waterfront CWOC capital project was identified as the funding source for both the $480,000 payment and the $300,000 loan. Staff has confirmed that East End Associates will not be requesting the funds, and the funds should be returned to the Waterfront CWOC capital project. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you. Madam Manager, public comment. Is there anybody in the public who wishes to comment on 2012-20AN? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Move on to assembly action. Ms. Crane?
I move adoption of ordinance 2012-20AN and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? So ordered. Madam Clerk, ordinance 2012-20AO.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $250,000 as funding for the Auk Lake Wayside Boat Launch Ramp, grant funding provided by the Alaska Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Admin report.
This grant is reimbursement for expenditures already incurred, though there is no grant match required. This project was completed in the summer of 2011. Total project costs were approximately $291,770. This project was originally funded by sales tax and the CBJ Lands Fund. The Public Works and Facilities Committee heard this proposed action at its April 8, 2013 meeting and has forwarded this appropriation to the full assembly for approval. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody in the public who wishes to comment on ordinance 2012-20AO? Seeing none, public comment is closed. We'll move on to assembly action. Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move we refer this ordinance to the Finance Committee for inclusion on our pending list.
Mr. Keel, could we make sure that we put it into the proper fund first and then move it to the pending list? Is that, that's what you needed, Ms. Manager?
So perhaps I'll just move we refer to the Finance Committee and they can make the appropriate change?
Is that? Madam Manager, go ahead.
Thank you. What we want to do is put this money back into the CIP and then the Assembly Finance Committee to determine what happens with that funding in the CIP, because it needs to be appropriated back to the fund that it was set up for.
Okay, so it'll go back to the Finance Committee in the end, but first of all, it has to go back into the CIP fund. So that's the beginning of the appropriating ordinance there.
So if I understand correctly, Mr. Mayor, you're asking that we adopt this ordinance tonight and then the Finance Committee can take up the funding after we've adopted it.
With, at the end of it, with a request to be put on the pending list at Finance.
As part of the
motion. So we're doing two things at once here.
Sure. Mr. Mayor, I withdraw my previous motion.
Thank you, Mr. Keel, and go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2012-20AO, and that the amounts included be added to the Finance Committee's pending list.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Are there any objections? Mr. Nankervis?
I don't have an objection. I have a clarification, a question that will clarify something for me.
Go ahead.
It says that that $200,000 would go back into the Parks and Rec capital project. Okay, you're shaking your head no, but that's what it says. So,
Madam,
help me here.
Go ahead, Madam Manager.
Based on the recommendation that just was made, this $250,000 is appropriated into the Auk Lake Wayside CIP. It's referred to the Finance Committee to determine how to spend that $250,000, whether it goes back to Parks and Recreation or whether it goes into the Lands Fund or whether it goes into something else. But the appropriating ordinance just appropriates it into the CIP. It does not designate where the rest of the money goes from there.
That clarified. Thank you.
Mr. Wanamaker, did you have your hand?
No, I was just going to offer the same information the city manager did, because this was explained at the Public Works Committee, and I support the motion to return the funds as proposed.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Is there any other objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Madam Clerk, could you please read ordinance 2012-20AP? $800,000 one.
An ordinance transferring to the manager the sum of $800,000 to transfer funds to the 2009 Special Capital Projects 1% Sales Tax Fund, fund balance, funding provided by the Capital Improvement Projects Fund.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. If the Madam Clerk got tongue-tied on it, we may all get tongue-tied on this one. Administration report.
Due to a communication error, a total of $7.3 million was budgeted to be transferred. This ordinance corrects the transfer amount to $6.5 million. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Public comment. Does anybody in the public wish to comment on this ordinance, 2012-20AP? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action. Mr. Wanamaker?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move assembly approval of ordinance 2012-20AP and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Madam Clerk, will you please read ordinance 2012-20AQ, the title?
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $300,000 as partial funding for the Eagles Edge Utility Local Improvement District Capital Improvement Project, loan funding provided by the State of Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation.
Thank you, Madam Manager, or Madam Clerk. Administration report, Madam Manager.
The loan funds will be added to the ongoing Eagles Edge Utility LID CIP R72-053 for the Eagles Edge Subdivision Water Project. This loan provides low-interest funding to cover the local improvement district assessments and allows for the CBJ to offer the property owners financing of their LID payments at the low interest rate of 2% instead of CBJ having to borrow money at a competitive market interest rates. Assembly Resolution 2630, adopted November 5th, 2012, authorized the city manager to enter into this loan agreement with ADEC. The Public Works and Facilities Committee passed a motion of support for the resolution at its October 29, 2012 meeting. The Public Works and Facilities Committee heard this action in its April 8, 2013 meeting and has forwarded this appropriation to the full assembly for approval. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody in the public who wishes to comment on ordinance 2012-20AQ? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action, Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move assembly approval of ordinance 2012-20AQ and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? So ordered. Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Madam Clerk, ordinance 2012-20AR.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $9,399 as funding for the purchase of 3 early literacy interactive computer stations. Grant funding provided by the State of Alaska Department of Education and Early Development.
Administrative report, Madam Manager.
Yes, this ordinance would appropriate the $9,399 for the purchase of the 3 early literacy interactive computer stations, one for each of the public libraries in Juneau. This funding comes entirely from a state library grant and requires no match funding from the CBJ. These machines replace older stations, and there is no impact on the operating budget or maintenance contracts. The grant was awarded in April 2013, and the terms of the grant require expenditure in FY13. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on ordinance 2012-20AR? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action, Ms. Crane.
I move adoption of ordinance 2012-20AR and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? So ordered. Unfinished business? Nothing, Madam Manager?
Nothing. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. New business? Madam, orders of the day? Orders of the day for new business?
Do we need to read the title or introduce it?
Mr.
Keel's comment is my suggestion exactly, that we introduce it, see if there's a comment from the public, And then an orders of the day motion would be appropriate at that time.
Thank you. Madam Clerk?
It's a regulation for a port development fee.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Orders of the day? Is there anybody in the public who wishes to comment about the regulation port development fee? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Mr. Keel?
I move orders of the day, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Move on to staff reports. Madam Manager? Thank you. Mr. Hartle?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Assembly reports? I'm going to hold my mayor's report till next go around because we still have another meeting to do here tonight. Committee reports? Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. At the Committee of the Whole meeting on April 29, we heard an update from the Chair of the Juneau Commission on Sustainability, and we heard the annual report from the Utility Advisory Board. The Utility Advisory Board recommends a 5% increase to the water and wastewater rates effective July 1, 2013. This request will be sent to the Finance Committee. On May 6, we heard a report from Parks and Rec concerning the Auk Lake Management Plan. We recommended improved buoys, improved signage, education efforts, especially about boating safety, enforcement efforts, and data collection throughout this summer. And we request a report back at the end of the summer where we will discuss this ordinance, this recommendation again. The Housing Committee, do you want that at this time?
Go ahead.
Okay. The Housing Committee is met on May 23rd, and we have a number of items that are, will be worked on between now and our next meeting, which is May 23rd. We had, let's see, May 9 is when we had our last meeting. We agreed to do these things. We've been assigned a list of open building projects and the names of the builder who is responsible for it, and we have all taken a share of that list, and we're going to be calling them. We have a matrix that we've been working on, and we've asked that the department chairs, the manager, determine who's going to be responsible for moving that item forward and what time it will take. We're going to add columns to our matrix so that we have whose job it is, what action is going to be taken. We want to know what reason it can't be done, if it can't, if any of it is already in the works, if it is possible to accomplish, what is required to accomplish it, a detailed analysis of what is needed, and we would like the CDD and engineering, et cetera, to get together and discuss what we need so that we can have real details on this. CDD is going to report on a market study and tell us at our May 23rd meeting what would be involved with this, what the direction will be for this study. Engineering will present a pie chart on the cost for underground utilities, sidewalks, paved streets, curb, and gutter, and we'll report on that at the 23rd. Greg Cheney will present a proposal for Peterson Hill and Switzer Creek. In June, we will get a report on the major and minor subdivisions. Law is working on this. The committee agreed to increase the minor subdivision to 12 lots. In June, we also will hear tax deferrals on new subdivisions that is also currently in law.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. Mr. Wanamaker, Public Works and Facilities Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There has been no meeting of Public Works and Facilities, but the next one is May 20th at noon. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Mr. Smith, Chair Lands.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. At our Lands meeting, we heard from Greg Cheney, who's the new Lands Director, who's transitioning from CDD into the Lands position and staffing up in the Lands Department. We heard from Mr. Cheney on his draft work plan for the year. It identifies 6 to 7 key elements that he'll be working on with his staff. And we're also developing a comprehensive meeting schedule. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. We'll move on to Human Resources, and that is Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Human Resources Committee met today at noon. We recommend a number of appointments. To begin with, for the 1% for Art selection panel for the Juneau cruise ship berth project. project. The committee recommends we appoint Chloe Watson and Dan Fruits.
Are there any objections? So ordered.
To the Board of Equalization, the committee recommends two appointments. Ms. Patricia Watt to a term expiring December 31st, 2015. Mr. Paul Nowlin to a term expiring December 31st, 2013.
Are there any objections? So ordered.
To the Juneau Human Rights Commission, the Human Resources Committee recommends reappointment of Alavini Lata for a term expiring May 31st, 2016.
Are there any objections? So ordered.
To the Sales Tax Board of Appeals, we recommended appointment of Patricia Watt to a term expiring December 31st of 2013.
Are there any objections? So ordered.
I'm glad there weren't. I believe she's a personal representative in the audience monitoring us tonight. To the Utility Advisory Board, Mr. Mayor, the Human Resources Committee recommended reappointment of Leon Vance and Scott Willis to terms expiring May 31st, 2016.
Is that all that you had was those two?
Those two.
Okay. Are there any objections? So ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We also reviewed a proposed rewrite of the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee's governing resolutions, which the committee recommended forwarding for introduction at our next assembly meeting. We did review the written interview questions for the Airport, Eagle Crest, and Docks and Harbors Board applicants, and I'll encourage all assembly members, if you have changes to those, to please submit them to the clerk so that we can get those to applicants. Those applications close on the 22nd of this month. Finally, Mr. Mayor, I want to let folks know that we moved our June 3rd regular meeting of the Human Resources Committee to noon to enable members to attend the installation of the first honorary consul from the Republic of the Philippines to Alaska. So that that timing change will be publicly noticed.
And that gives us an extra hour because we still have an assembly meeting that night.
I can't change those, Mr. Mayor. That's your job.
Priorities, Mr. Keel, priorities.
Did you want a very brief report on the city manager selection subcommittee?
What I need to do is have you tell us about how big of a change was the Parks and Rec new code. I mean, is that just a simple thing, or is that a big, fairly big change?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The proposed rewrite of the resolution was worked on with the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee and with city staff. It is primarily a consolidation of the board that had some bylaws and its authorizing resolution. Those things have been simplified and rolled together. The most substantive thing I can think of is that they used to have four non-voting ex officio members. Those folks get notices, and they didn't generally show up unless there was something specifically impacting them. So this rewrite removes those four non-voting members. Just like everyone else, if there's something directly impacting them, city staff and the PRAC will invite them to attend.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Keel. Did you have anything else?
Very briefly on the city attorney selection subcommittee. The advertisements are out. I've seen a couple of them in newspapers. They look good. Applications close June the 10th, so tell your lawyer friends. We do meet, I wanted to note, Mr. Mayor, tomorrow at 2:30 p.m. here at City Hall to discuss our recommendations in the unlikely event that this group of nine here doesn't move at light speed hiring a replacement.
Mr. Keel, thank you very much. Madam Crane?
There is no Finance Committee meeting this Wednesday night. Mr. Jones and I are on the board of the Alaska Municipal League, and there is a board meeting in Anchorage. So no meeting this Wednesday. The next meeting of the Finance Committee will be May the 22nd, Wednesday the 22nd.
Thank you. Madam Chairman? And I guess I'll just put out there to make sure everybody knows that we are doing a 360 evaluation on the city manager, and that should have been presented through email to all of you to take your turn at filling out. If you don't want to go through the process of doing it online and doing it Survey Monkey-wise, then find out from either myself or Mila, and we can get you a hard copy so that you can participate. So whichever way you want to do it, that's the direction that we're going for right now, and we'll get our 360. We have about 25 to 30 people initiated to take the 360 and give us input on the manager's evaluation. Any questions? All right, committee reports, liaison reports. Mr. Jones, do you have any liaison stuff?
A couple. JEDC did not meet their regular time. Their board meeting is actually tomorrow.
Okay.
On docks and harbors, we dealt with a couple of issues tonight. Just another point of information that on Wednesday the 15th, there's the ribbon cutting ceremony out at Stater Harbor. And I will be in Anchorage. I'm sorry to miss that, because just before that, from 11 to 1, is free hot dogs. So I really miss my hot dogs. But a couple of the other issues that have already been dealt with, the bid award and some of the others. One other thing I will mention was that a proposed interpretive display has been created by the Pusich family for the harbor over the Mike Pusich Douglas Harbor. And that'll be being reviewed by future committees of the Docks and Harbor Board. And there will be three vacancies, and those ads have been advertised. So that's it, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The PRAC met last Tuesday evening here in Chambers. It was a fairly light agenda. I took a few moments to discuss the PRAC presentation to the Assembly on the Auk Lake Management Plan and the staff's recommendations, and fairly lightly attended by the committee members, and a fairly light agenda. And I've been informed that it gets even lighter in the summer, and in fact mostly they don't meet in the summer, so that's rapidly approaching. And the other committee, the Committee on Sustainability or Commission on Sustainability, I have not made those meetings recently. They meet at the same time Wednesday night that our finance committee meets, so I don't have any update from them. Sorry. Thank you.
Mr. Dibdahl, are you still online?
Yes, I am.
Mr. Dibdahl, are you, you're going to be busy on airport board meeting nights?
I am with finance committee meetings so far, and so I apologize for that, but the finance committee meetings take precedence.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Dibdahl. Well, I'm going to appoint Mr. Nankervis as a subfill for you at the airport board meetings. So, Mr. Nankervis, if you can find time to get out there and help fill in for Mr. Dibdahl, I would appreciate it. If there's a problem with that, please let me know.
No, that's great.
Thank you, Mr. Dibdahl. I heard you had a little bit of extra time, Mr. Nankervis. So. Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Juneau Convention and Visitors Bureau has its annual membership meeting this Friday morning at 8:15. The doors open. That's a Silver Bow Inn. The speaker is Governor Sean Parnell, and his topic is going to be the importance of the tourism economy, the tourism industry to the state of Alaska. And everyone's welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. Dibdahl, anything?
Nothing. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Dibdahl. We'll move on to Ms. Crane.
Nothing this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Crane. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Affordable Housing Commission met recently, and subsequent to that meeting did make a presentation to the Assembly's Ad Hoc Committee on Housing. Rather than rehash their presentation, though, they have a letter with several recommendations, and there was discussion with the Deputy Mayor about scheduling for a future Committee of the Whole meeting. I will anxiously watch the agenda.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Keel. Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Jones gave the update on the Juneau Economic Development Council meeting, but the Juneau School Board has its last meeting of the year on June 4th, Tuesday, and then they recess for the summer, and will take up their work again in late August. So,
Mr. Wanamaker, are you informing me that you have some free time?
I'm telling you, I'm very busy.
Thank you. You caught me. Okay, we need to keep going here. Presiding officers' reports.
Can I do one too?
Oh, I was going to skip you. Ms. Becker, go ahead.
I know. I try not to talk all through the meeting so I can have these long reports. The LASA committee had a retreat on May 8th. We updated our action plan and reviewed our bylaws. And we saw the 2013 visitor satisfaction survey results almost in final form, and it'll be coming out soon. And we talked with Bill Lejeune about gavel to gavel, some new changes and updating that's going to happen next legislative session. The campus council met today in that gorgeous new U.S. Forestry Science Lab, beautiful building. The director discussed the collaborative research that the lab does with the University of Alaska. They hire a lot of students, as many as they can, to help them with research. This lab will officially open this Saturday at Community Day. So go see it.
So the 18th, everybody.
At 3 o'clock.
At 3 o'clock, right. Thank you. Chancellor Pugh told us that the Bill Ray Center has been sold. And the identity of the buyer is not yet public information, but maybe someone knows and they can make it public, but he didn't make it to public. That was the last meeting of campus council until next fall, and no, I have no time.
I'm going to catch you guys, I promise you. All right, any other assembly comments or questions? Mr. Jones?
I think it's the process here, but was wondering if the assembly would agree to have the attorney's office review the parking fines issues around taxi parking, and maybe also some of the issues that Mr. Metcalf raised of bear nuisance, since those were two subjects in the ordinance that I think he felt we should deal with separately. And I would very much like to have him start to work on some of that. And I'd be willing to work with him. I got a couple of suggestions on a couple of them, but that's certainly up to you. But I would like to see that start to be worked on.
Mr. Jones, I'm going to caution all of us because we just expect things to happen. And I would say right now, in law especially, we are overburdened or overtasked with a lot of different things. And they're a priority to us on our goals and objectives list that we want to see happen. So I would, if we could put that off for a month or two, I would appreciate it. And all the rest of us, we would slowly bring things forward again, because we are right now with the housing committee matrix and our goals and objectives that we have before and in to city staff, we definitely are pushing them to their maximum right now. And so I want to just be a little bit careful of what we're going to set as priorities here in the next month or two.
Mr. Mayor, I wasn't going to set a priority, but in my advanced age, somebody else would make sure it's on a list someplace to be brought forward, because I'll forget in a couple months. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll do that. Mr. Hartle will put it on his list, and I'm sure Ms. Kiefer will too. Thank you very much, Mr. Jones. Are there any other assembly comments or questions? Mr. Wanamaker?
Mr. Dibdahl.
Mr. Dibdahl, go ahead.
Yes. First of all, I'd like to apologize. I'm not able to make the hearing, so therefore I'm not going to be able to make the executive session. I heard that.
I hear sadness in your voice.
And the only other thing is I'd like to thank Jerry for
volunteering,
filling in for me for the airport board. And since I saw on your calendar that you were planning to go fishing, I'll go fishing for you.
Mr. Dibdahl, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Wanamaker.
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think Mr. Jones brought up a good point about looking at the bear issue and the traffic fine issue, the parking fine. I know that the Lands Committee was the main committee that worked on the bear ordinance back a long time ago. And it seems to me that, were they willing, they could take up looking at the suggested changes and try to come up with something constructive in conjunction with the law department when they have time available, so that, you know, some part of the assembly is engaged in bringing about something for the benefit of the full assembly review when it's ready. But the Lands Committee was the committee that was the prime committee on the bear ordinance quite some time ago, and I think it's appropriate to send it back there for to what, to me, it looks like is could be some straightforward modifications that would might be easier to implement. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Any other comments? Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The blessing of the fleet took place, and there were, well, we think 8 new names put on, which is too many. Fishing is a dangerous occupation. We need to keep the fishermen in our thoughts as the new season begins. One of the, what I considered one of the highlights of that event was the Alaska State Ferry went through, you know, the boats come around, and the Alaska State Ferry went in front of the all of us because they were in town picking up people for the 50th, one of the 50th anniversary trips to Tracy Arm, and that was really, really neat. And then Risha, as usual, had a full feed for everyone in the community at the Twisted Fish. Thank you, Risha. I got to go to the First Lady's Volunteer of the Year Award celebration. Mrs. Parnell presented awards to 7 outstanding community volunteers from around the state. Our own Earlene Smith, who's 92, was recognized for her work with youth at the Johnson Youth Center, where she's been volunteering for over 21 years. Mrs. Parnell called Earlene a kind volunteer and a mentor, and said she, quote, has been a rock of stability for young people during critically important times in their lives. It was really a nice event. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for letting me go. It was great. And then I gave a talk to the miners group this last Friday, and that was really interesting. If anyone ever has time on Friday morning at 7 a.m. to go to the miners group, it's quite interesting. And I talked about the impact of the legislative bills and the budget on CBJ. And if you want to know what that is, you'll have to ask me, because just in case I made up some things. Anyway, it was an interesting meeting. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Is there anybody else with assembly comments, questions? Seeing none, we'll move on to continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Does anyone from the public wish to come forward and say their piece on non-agenda items? Seeing none, public comments are closed. And Ms. Crane, can we move to get into executive session?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I would move that we go into executive session to discuss the appeal of USE 2012-0119 Lemon Creek Gravel Extraction.
Thank you, Madam Crane. Is there anybody who wishes to challenge us going into executive session for the appeal? Seeing
well,
none.
No, but Mr. Mayor, I like that you all know I am signing off.
Thank you, Mr. Dibdahl, and it's good to have you here with us.
You bet. Thank you.
Hi, Mr. Dibdahl.
It's best for us to recess. Recess and then come back. Mr. Hartle, best for us to recess and then come back.
Taking 5 would be good for our health. Stand up.
Yes.
I just want to remind people that on Wednesday at noon is or shortly thereafter, the police memorial is happening at Evergreen Cemetery, and then that night at, I think it's 6:00, but I'll send you an email to make sure Wednesday night, since you don't have finance, you can go out to the police station and be out there to support our police officers.
6 p.m.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we're going to take 5.
And then just meet here.
And then we can meet here. We can shut off the mics?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, then we'll just meet here. Oh, we're recessed.
5 minutes.
That's right.